everybody, and welcome to the Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jess Wellington.
And I'm Michael Evans.
And what we do here at the Liars Club is we have one of our comedy pals come on. We ask them to tell two stories. One is a truth, one is a lie. And then we, as a brain trust, try to figure out which one is the lie. Jessica, would you please introduce our guest?
Yes. Just remember, I'm just Jess now. I'm so excited for our guest today. He is three times on the show now. He did it in the beginning, did it on Zoom when we were in the quarantine, and now he's back. I thought he had a special coming out, but it's actually a vampire flick. My favorite movie is The Lost Boys, so I am stoked for this. Yeah, it's called Don't Suck, so I'm really excited about that. Please welcome Jamie Kennedy.
Yay. Wow, what an intro.
I know.
First of all, I gotta say I love you.
I love you. I really do.
I hate homework.
I know. That's.
She's like, do you have your two stories? She's like, remember, you have to tell one truth and one fib. And I forgot because it's been a minute.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I had to do a little homework.
Okay.
Second of all, where did you see that article at?
You know, Alyssa, I love her.
Oh.
And she tweeted it. Yeah.
It's very exciting.
I'm excited.
I can't say too much about it, but it's a vampire comedy dramedy. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But I'm excited about it because it is Don't Suck. There's a lot. But it was written by a hilarious comedian by the name of Rick D'Elia. Do you know Rick?
Oh, I know who he is. Yeah.
Brilliant guy. And you want me to tell you the plot?
Sure.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
A basically never made it, washed up comedian, acting. Acting. Is trying, you know, he's on his last legs, meets a young, beautiful opener who...
Played by Jess Wellington.
Yeah. Who
only because you put the word young in there. Yeah. Otherwise, it would have been me.
Who basically realizes that this man starts doing odd things, and he starts realizing that his opener is a vampire. And so the rest of the movie is he begs him, there's more than this, to bite him.
So he could live forever.
And make it. And so it sounds on
but
paper.
But what if you live eternity and never make it?
Yeah, well, like the story of most of us.
That's the thing. He wants to live forever, but it's also a morality play of what will you do to be famous? Ooh. So I'm really excited about it.
Oh, good.
I'm going to love it. I love vampire flicks.
It could. Yeah, I love vampire
flicks. And I love comedy.
Too, so.
Is it going to stream somewhere? Is it in theaters? How is that going
to
shake out?
To be real with you, like it's out to a couple places, but they're not, like, you know, it takes a minute. But if it doesn't stream, they're going to do the 10 city thing, which is kind of cool.
Awesome.
So you do it in 10 cities. And then if it does well, then you do it, you know, 20 cities. Personally, I would love it to stream, but I also love movie theaters. That's my home in a way. I'd say I'm still like that. So I would go to each. I'd rather go to Arkansas, talk to a sold out show. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
But who knows?
That release strategy has worked recently for comedians. Like Joe List movie was like that, right? They put it in a few theaters. It did well. They keep it, you know, and it can stay there longer than that original planned allotted time, you know?
So I'm a big believer in if you build it, they will come.
Right.
Hell yeah.
So. Do you ever remember a comic named Chris Fonseca?
Know the name.
Yeah.
Big time.
But remember when, what was that Kevin Costner movie about the baseball movie?
Bull Durham.
No, if you build it, they will come.
Oh, yeah. Bull Durham.
No.
Build a dream.
Build a dream.
He did a couple of ball movies.
Yeah. So Chris Fonseca, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but he's a great comic from Colorado, and he had a joke during that time. You think the guy that invented the vibrator had a dream that said, if you build it, they will come? I was always like, that's such a great joke.
That was very inspiring.
Shout out Chris Fonseca.
Shout out.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Great.
Where's he at? What's he up to?
Well, he lives in Colorado and has just been a local guy. He comes out here every once in a while. Very funny joke writer.
You gotta get a vampire opener to bite that cat. Yeah. You know?
So when you got bit, is your character got bit? Was
I can't tell you if I get bit or not.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah.
Can't tell you. Okay. That's the whole thing.
That sounds like a lot of fun, man. Fair enough. I can't wait.
All right. So before,
can I ask? Like, I'm into vitamins right now, but that is.
It's a wild thing to bring that and say nothing about it.
Right.
Like, man, I wonder if we're gonna hear about the pills. I mean, like, share.
It's do you
like,
really want to know?
You don't have cancer or something, do you?
No.
Okay.
Jesus, Jessica. What? Why do you even put homework that out there?
No, Jess, it's HIV and relax.
They've taken that down to one pill now, so.
Have you... Do you guys not take vitamins?
I do, and I have mine in a little thing, but still not that many. Mine fits in a little square.
I probably take now 43 pills a day.
Jesus Christ. I don't take that many.
But here's the deal. Ever since COVID, and I've done like research and stuff, there's all these different vitamins, and I don't eat before 2 o'clock. Every day, are you familiar with that whole thing?
No.
Like intermittent you're fasting.
Intermittent fasting.
Ketosis, so you can enter ketosis.
In ketosis.
Whoa, man, what's that accent? What's the actual word?
Yes, ketosis.
Ketosis. Okay, I see.
So then these vitamins are just like different vitamins like D and different like
fish oil.
Minerals and stuff, but it's... But, like, they actually kind of fill you up, so then I take them and then I eat after two. But also, it's just, I don't know, I've been reading a lot of stuff and what... Like, you know, collagen.
I take collagen
in there. Collagen
I put mine in my coffee. Yeah.
I put that in my coffee. But I don't know if you guys have been reading. There's a lot of, like, all these different studies. Have you read about the guy in Silicon Valley? I think he created Braintree. Do you know what that is? Or Paytree. Do you know what that is? Paytree was a pay service invented by this guy. He sold it to PayPal for about, he sold it to eBay for about $800 million. And this guy, he's been in the news recently. He's very transparent. He made about $312 million off of it.
Oh, is this a guy that exercises all the time and takes the vitamins?
He's 45 years old, but he's hired a doctor for each body part.
So
he has a brain specialist, a heart specialist, a liver specialist, a scrotum specialist. Like, this is real. So his brain is like 37. His heart is 28. His penis is supposed to be 19. This is all real. So he looks amazing. Uh-huh. And he's like, I'm going to be the test study on how to extend your life. I'm going to live to 150. So there's certain stuff takes that I started taking.
Yeah. His penis is the age of a 19-year-old?
Penis is 19.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
It comes immediately.
Well, it comes real quick.
What happens is we caught in the middle and we saw the rings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello.
If you build it, they will squirt. Whoa.
Little tiny rings.
But no, it's fast. I'm just trying to be wellness, man.
No, fair enough.
Every damn day, we're in an airport. There's a new variant.
Oh, yeah. That's
true. I don't want to get the sunset variant.
Mm-mm. Whatever that is. Is there a sun? There probably is. Who knows anymore?
If you wake up with rollerblades on.
All right.
Find yourself.
Look at you. You want to get ready?
Let's get to the fucking story.
Can we start? Can we start?
All right.
We've talked about everything.
Let's
get to the story.
It's time for the morning announcements, and let's get to it.
You shouldn't judge me with that wig.
I know, right?
Were you added recently?
Oh, not even. No, no. We've even since added another.
Yeah.
He's just... He doesn't respond to shit.
Yeah, I'm just here for friction, pretty much.
All right, so tell us your first story. I'm very curious, because you've done the podcast twice before, if there's going to be a repeater in there.
Does that happen?
Oh, yeah.
Who's your
guy with this many vitamins, though? I mean, this guy's sharp. He's screwed in.
His brain is 30.
You know, it's not wild to do that. I will rescind that. It's not crazy to bring your vitamins and say, you know, those are vitamins. It's me looking at it.
It's
my mind's in the gutter.
It's just a lot.
And it is.
43 pills? That's a lot.
That is a lot.
Psycho.
That is a lot.
So should we have him go through each individual pill?
I couldn't
just
even
get
tell
to
you
the stories. Get to the fucking stories.
Can you tell us about that comic in Colorado?
Yes. Chris Fonseca, shout out.
We all have been a little verbose this morning.
Yes.
I have a heart out for my scrotum specialist. We got to keep it moving.
Very true.
So, okay, so we have to go to this. So, wait, can I just ask you this? I've been on this three times. You've had repeaters.
Uh-huh.
What's the most guests you've had on how many times?
You might be it, actually,
Jamie.
Yeah, you might be it.
Because I love you, too.
Sarah Hyland has done it, like,
twice, I think.
Twice, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to jump into it.
Okay.
So I did a movie coming up in 25 years, and it's called Bowfinger.
Oh, okay. All right. All right.
We both were like,
don't fact check it.
No, no, we don't.
No internet here.
Yeah, we're not allowed to look at the internet.
I'm just taking notes so I can recap your story.
No internet. I'm going to try to get my voice right. So I got to be in Bowfinger. I'll try to be as clean. Oh, Chris put this. I hate early mornings, even though it's 1:30, but you guys will get it. So work with three legends, right? More, but really three. So Steve Martin. Do you want to do that or no? Should we do with that or no? Okay. Steve Martin, Eddie Murphy, and Frank Oz directed it. Now, if you know who Frank Oz is, he's the voice of many things, but Miss Piggy and Yoda are two of his most famous. And then Ron Howard and Brian Grazer produced it. So this was a stacked movie, and Steve Martin told me something amazing. We were talking about, you know, legendary comedy and stuff, and how I was telling people recently how, you know, Steve Martin was the 70s, Eddie Murphy was the 80s,
mm-hmm.
Jim Carrey was the 90s. Now, there doesn't mean there's other people that don't come up,
right?
But it's like in terms of these explosive things. And then when the 2000s started, you would see one arena act a decade.
Dane Cook.
Yeah, Dane was the 2000s, and then towards the end of it.
Kevin Hart.
Yeah, Kevin started playing arenas. And I was telling somebody, like, there were three comedians playing arenas last week. So it's incredible time. But we would talk about it, and Steve Martin gave me so much advice during it about comedy and stuff, and how it took him, he just, every city, every night, and they build. And I was thinking about how wild that is, because there was no social media. So literally, it was just records, you know, come in here and then go. So it was wild. So anyway, I was playing his assistant in the movie. My character's name is Dave. And I got to go to college. I never went to college, and being on any set is college, but being with two of your heroes, two icons in the field of, like, you know, it's being in basically with Steve Jobs and Wozniak if you wanted to be in the computers. Like, that's what I was with. And we shot it all in LA, and it was about movie business. So it was very, very, very inch meta. So Steve was a wonderful, they both were incredible, but I didn't really get to hang with Eddie much because we just had scenes with him, and then we would go out. But Steve, I was his sidekick, so the whole movie. So I literally became his sidekick. And he was just so inclusive.
He seems like he'd be a warm guy.
Wonderful guy.
Yeah.
Incredible. Super, super smart. Like, not only just obviously hilarious and brilliant, but also very dry. There's an English dryness.
Until it just goes off the rails.
And then it becomes...
like, he gets all wackadoo, his characters.
Goofy.
It's like
Murders
in the Building. There's a scene after the first series, towards the end of it, where he's, you know, kind of playing a normal guy, and then it goes so Steve Martin. I don't want to give it away if anyone hasn't seen it.
He's on that, and then off camera he's very chill, but he's dry. So he's got all bases covered. Yeah.
Right.
So he was just very loving, and I got to 3 months in the summer of 98 to have this experience. And pretty much from day two, I was his assistant. Not getting him stuff, but like we'd eat lunch together, we would have snacks together. I wouldn't bother him too much. But, you know, he would share things and I would just absorb it like a sponge.
Right.
And he's got an amazing house here. And so he was always very, very gracious. And so at the time... all of our characters were in love with Heather Graham.
Okay.
In the movie. And, you know, Steve would say he has the life that you would expect, like, when you see a movie star. And so he would get amazing set food and, you know, just all these perks, and we'd get gifts and stuff. So, I don't know, we're like 2 quarters through shooting. And we were with an amazing, there's another great actor, right? So Steve's like, hey, you know, why don't you, I'll call up Jeff, or I think it was his chef's name. And he goes, why don't I call up Jeff and he'll whip up some food and we'll all hang out tonight, right?
Steve said that?
Yeah. So he calls his chef, like that's how it was, in an his amazing property. And he calls him up and it's me and a couple of different people and you know, a couple of friends of his. And
you remember what you wore?
Not at all. And he goes, but well, like, we'll have,
okay,
we'll have like a pool, like we'll have like, we'll play some volleyball in the pool, we'll have a dinner, you know, guys will chill. Long story, boring. It's,
Jamie's all full from pills he didn't have.
Yeah, I had no pills. I was like, I mean, way to detail. You're like a heckler. Like, way to do a drive-by. I'm working on it.
Part.
Do you remember what you had? Jesus Christ. It's just extended
fair
this
enough,
shit.
Fair enough.
So anyway, he's so gracious. It has this incredible property. You feel like you're in Europe. And there's a bunch of us over there. There's different, you know, we had like a fun time. We were playing volleyball in the pool, all this shit. We're eating salmon. I just remember just the best couscous. Everything was the best. It's just incredible. And I think Heather left because she was at the time dating Eddie Burns. And I think they came over and then they left. And then I think another actor was there. I forget. He's a legend. He left. And so it was me and my buddy who was an actor. And we were hanging out. And there was a couple of beautiful German girls, women. Gotta say women. Well, you have to now. So, you know, they're like, whatever. I was like 25 or 26 at the time. They were like 25, 26, whatever. And so we're all hanging out. So it's me and this other actor, Steve, and a couple of these women. And Steve is just, he also is super healthy. So he was like super vitamins. I don't think he drinks or anything. And he was like, you know what? I'm really tired, guys. And it was like 11:30. He's like, you guys, hang out as long as you want. Do what you want. Chill. There's more food in there. And I'm going to go to bed. And you guys can go out through the back gate because there's this whole thing where you walk through and it's an easy exit out. So we're like, really? He's like, yeah. So he goes to sleep. And so me and my buddy, who is an actor, and it's not what I'm going to tell you it is, but he sounds like it. He sounds a lot like Matthew McConaughey, but I'm telling you it's not Matthew McConaughey. Okay.
Okay.
Is this an actor we would know?
No, you wouldn't. You might know him, but probably wouldn't know. Okay. But he's a great actor. He's not that known, but he's a great actor.
Was he around your age, this actor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good looking, tall, model-y guy. And we were hanging out with these two girls, and they're like, this German's kind of like, oh, yes, I'm going to go to the pool. Maybe I got to work on that. So
I know. It's like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, like that. They were like Arnold. They were like Arnold with beautiful bodies. So long story boring, Steve has his back house. And so we're all hanging out.
In the back house.
Yeah, we're drinking wine. He had a couple houses, so we were in one far away, and he went to his main house. And he's done. He's out of the story. That was just the preface to this. And he's graciousness and legendariness. So we go to the guest house and we're all hanging out. And I don't know if you remember this, but before everything got fucking upended in Hollywood, there wasn't creeps. There was, well, I guess there was.
What?
Do you understand? There was, but no one was ever, I've never been around like super creepy people. I've been around like, you know, people that are that whatever
average
and you're
creepy
in comedy.
No, honestly, no, like, no. Meaning, no, I meant in movies.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I'm saying? Comedy. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But some of these people are undercover. Right, some of these people are undercover creeps. That's what
okay,
I mean. Overtly right. Creepiness. That's yeah. What I meant. Anyway, so
were these girls professionals?
No, okay. No, they were friends of somebody or whatever, okay. And they were. I think they
had professionals.
this was way, they weren't on any pre-only fans if there was one back in the day, and they weren't workers either. Mm-hmm. But I like that you said that, professionals, you're hilarious. So it's a very valid question. So they were just friends of like somebody, but anyway, they were really hot. And so we were in the back house, we're drinking, we're having a good time, things are getting real cute, and we started playing Truth or Dare, like the middle schoolers, because that's what you did. And so we did whatever stupid stuff, and then he started, kissing one girl, and I started kissing her friend, and everything was hunky dory.
You don't remember her name?
It was 25 years ago in Steve Martin's guest house. Okay. So let's call her Helga.
I was gonna say Helga.
Or Saint Pauli. So my friend, we started getting hot and heavy. So he's kissing one, I'm kissing one. Everybody's having a good time. And then he stopped.
In the same room?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that weird?
I don't know.
Off camera, you just told us about a porn convention you went to. But oh my God. You guys, you're kissing in the, oh my God. You grew up in the fucking 80s.
Okay, you're right.
You grew up in the 80s. Damn. You've been to the Playboy Mansion as much, maybe more than me. You know,
well, I haven't made out with another couple next to me since I'm really? 15
it wasn't
years
a couple.
Old. Well, I mean, four people in a
room.
Well,
they were young.
Out.
They were in their early 20s.
It's Hollywood.
Okay. Fair enough.
Kissing. That's
okay.
That's entry level.
Okay.
Yeah. Wouldn't you think? Okay, so, this dude is a stud. He's got like a leather vest. He's a fucking great looking guy. And he just stops in the middle of this thing. And he's like, now, we're going to play a little game. You're going to kiss her again. I'm going to kiss my girl again. And then in the middle of it, I'm going to yell switch. And then we're going to switch. So I was making out with my chick, he's making out with his chick, and then he's like, switch. So then I went, and believe me, this now post-COVID, I would never thought like this, but I didn't think about it, you know what I'm saying? This is pre-variant. So I started making out with his chick, he starts making out with mine, switch, back and forth. Now, as this is happening, I had had a lot of wine, and I had I had to pee, but I was also getting a boner. So I had a pee boner. I had a poner. You know what I'm saying?
A boner?
I had a poner.
Important difference.
So
yeah.
It's like you got the big bladder, the hard stick, and you got to figure that out because you don't want to get excited if something does go down and just end up
exactly
urinating.
Well, you see, you're never too old to learn something because I thought pee boners were only in the morning.
Oh, they are, but also they... If you're drinking,
yeah, you can end up trapped in a situation where in the middle of sex, the I gotta pee gets too bad. And so it's like, let me go do that really quick. But it's not gonna be really quick because it's hard and painful to get the boner pee to happen.
Yeah, you gotta get it down. But okay. Also, so you wanna go on an empty, like how, like, I'm empty stomach. Like on these pills, you want to have an empty stomach before you.
Exactly.
Or baby stomach.
I guess. Where does it hurt?
It's uncomfortable.
Here's what it is. It's like, imagine if you have like a bag of water in your lower stomach.
Yes.
And it's pushing against everything, but you also have a raging poner. So what are you going to do? Where is the deal? Are you going to pee or are you going to come? Pee, come. Right? I don't want to be gross, but that's the truth.
I mean, you nailed
and
it.
And usually you want to...
So it's one or
wait,
the other?
I'm sorry. So you do both at the same time?
No.
I've never had that.
You pee, no, I don't. That's a wizardry. What you do
category,
is...
Category, probably.
You urinate to get it, and then your boner goes down, and then it comes back very quickly.
And then by this time, she's snoozing her. It's just been a little
too
long.
Well, hold on. So let me finish the story. So okay. You guys are interrupting. So goddamn long.
So it's, by the way, when I asked the question, I didn't think it was going to go into this much detail.
Well, you
asked. Continue.
I didn't mean to be an expert, you know?
So I'm like, listen, Helga, I gotta go to the bathroom for a minute. He's like, okay, that's fine.
Okay.
And so... So I go to the bathroom and I come out, and these two chicks
are all over the hot dude.
They're mauling him. One's making out, the other one's licking his chest. He's rubbing, they're grabbing, and I'm just like, switch. And they're just look. They're not even hearing me. I'm like, flick. And literally, I just looked, and I'm like, and I just fucking grabbed the rest of the bottle of wine, and I left.
Oh, wow. But you got your so fair good. Share later in your career.
I've lived.
Yeah.
But it would have been nice to have a final.
So I have a couple of questions, and only because I have smoked too much weed in my lifetime. But what is that movie falls in? Was that one of your first movies, or was that, you know, like what is the hierarchy?
Early. So it was post Scream, post Enemy of the State, post Romeo and Juliet, but then that began a run of like 2 years of a ton of movies.
Right.
Okay. But those movies already put me on the map in Hollywood and slowly in America. Uh-huh.
And my other question is, so Steve Martin's wife was just like, yeah, let those youngins go in the back house and do what they got to do?
Divorced.
They're divorced?
He was divorced. This was 25 years ago. You never met this current wife.
Oh, I thought, oh, so he's divorced from what, Victoria Tennant? Wasn't he married to her?
Yeah, he was divorced. Oh. And if he wasn't, we have to edit this whole fucking
movie. Okay.
I'm okay. Pretty sure they're divorced. Fair enough. I'm dead serious. You guys got to do a fact check on that.
Okay. Fair enough.
But I'm pretty sure he was.
Okay. And then the second question is, why would you go to any party with the most good-looking man in the world? Why would you do that? Like, why not let the spotlight
shine? Well, that also attracts the hoes, you know what I mean?
Mm. I didn't look
German,
at them.
And you don't know if they're
well,
hoes.
A. Yeah.
Leader hoes.
A.
Leader hoes. Yeah.
I wasn't, like, looking at him like, oh, my God, I just have to go to the party with you. But he was my friend. And B, I mean, so I'm just chopped liver?
This is a horror. No.
But didn't he even hear you yell switch?
No, he was in the. What I'm saying is, I'm confident in my own abilities. Thank you very much.
No, I know that.
Good looking. Not that you aren't now. No, I'm like I'm digging in.
Like, you know, I think you're a very handsome gentleman.
Stop it.
Okay.
Yeah, I just he was my buddy. We were working together. He's an actor. That's what you do. I mean,
did he remain your friend afterwards?
100%. He lived with me. I love him. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because he was
did
not...
you dirty like that? And you're like, ah, no biggie.
He didn't do me dirty.
Please, brother. He took two women. Which
he didn't
one of
take.
Them were
they chose.
They chose.
They chose.
They did.
The universe goes.
Yeah, but a friend raises her hand and reappoints at least one of them in your direction.
Yeah, but at that point, then you know they're only doing it because the hot guy said go play. And then that doesn't feel good.
He must have been a hot guy if they were all like.
Here's first of all, there's a lot of questions.
Pass you
here.
Up.
He's all right.
Sweet. So I'm chopped liver. No. So he's a great looking guy, but he's different. Like I was funny. I'd make him laugh all day. He's a super athlete. We would golf. Like we combined our skill sets very well. So and if there's gonna be one or I mean if there's gonna be one or two. That I learned at that time, two might be for him. But if there's going to be three or four, hopefully I can get a little bit of, you know.
So, but what is the etiquette?
Dust off. You know what I'm saying?
What is the etiquette in that situation, though?
Well, first of all, no offense, but you're speaking from a female perspective.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say that in 2023?
But in my female perspective.
Let me finish. So, right. Sorry to interrupt. But you're like, well, isn't it proper etiquette to say, hey. I'm not being serviced over here. Can you help me, please? This is not... Jonathan, stop it. Kick one of them off and say you won't do it unless she does...
No, for him, not your
No, if homies are doing... If, like, these girls were mauling them like two alley cats. You know, players play. Don't hate the player. Don't hate the game. Don't hate nothing. You know what I mean? It's funny. I mean, so we had a bad night. I had a great night. I just had a bit, not even a bad ending. I had a funny ending.
So are you
and
friends
I knew
with
that
this
I could
guy?
Go. I could go. Dude, there's going to be a lot more shots.
So yeah,
I haven't
yeah.
talked to him in a while, but I was friends with him for a while. But he was a New York guy.
So it never bummed you out 1 second that this guy.
He was bummed in the moment. I would have.
Yeah, in the moment after my poner was all done and I was ready to go.
But man, it feels good when that thing is finally gone too.
But it was honestly. Like. this is, again, I'm sorry, I'm probably getting in trouble for this, but this is a more female perspective. It's, you know what? I played a lottery. That scratcher didn't work. Where are we going?
There's nothing
you
left
to
do.
You go to swingers, try to get a late night bite, and, you know, hopefully, you know,
yeah,
you start the day
next. Yeah, and there's a lesson to be learned here.
Swingers,
what is that, Jessica?
Make sure you pee before you start the weekend.
That's true, yeah. It's pretty important.
But you, but no, it's like, you know, listen, it happens.
Yeah.
These all things, right. We're in the land, we're in the soup. Do you, have you ever been to South Africa?
No.
Well, South Africa has the biggest congregation, is that it? Group of what? Great white sharks. The biggest, the most ferocious ones in the world are in South Africa. So that's LA. I mean, we're not.
Yeah.
If you're a, if you're an eight in Iowa, you're a four here, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
So it's like we're in the best of the best. So in my world, but I'm Captain Positivity. I took that as a nice silver medal or bronze, maybe.
Which
dude,
in...
you didn't even make the fucking team on that night.
Well, I know. Yeah, I got knocked out the first round. Knocked out the first round.
Okay.
But in Omaha, he's first team all league for that.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
But he started. He wasn't on the bench the whole time.
Yeah. I just didn't, you know, I didn't slam.
You didn't get slam dunk.
You know what I'm saying? But I got to remember if he did either. He might have not took it all the way home, but he definitely had a, you know, a better.
So the next day, did you work the next day on that movie?
No, that was like, it was the end of our week, so we were like
right.
off.
Did you ever tell Steve Martin this story?
I think I might have, and I think he just laughed at me like, well, what did you expect?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he was really funny. I think, but again, this is 25 years.
Did you tell him the part about the poner? Did you tell him that part?
I probably left that off.
Okay.
Steve,
let me tell you. I know that.
Okay. Any other questions anybody has?
I thought it was quite curious that he couldn't remember what he was wearing, but he remembered how great the couscous was.
Couscous.
It's the reason I do what I do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Actually, Jamie, you're not going to believe this. Helga, come on in. We actually have
yeah.
What's more? Food is more important to me than fashion.
That is a...
We're
man,
feeling...
profound. That was kind of profound.
We're feeling individuals, okay? Comedy is not mental for me. It's emotional, right? So if you look at me, I'm gonna do things emotional. Eating, love, all these stuff. A person that was intellectual would remember that. Damn.
I'm not intellectual.
Right. You're emotional.
Okay.
You're emotional too.
Yeah.
All right.
That's
a great first story.
What a first story.
Any questions, Michael?
I'm good to go. Switch. I want to hear that second story.
Had a lot of highlights.
Switch.
Yeah. All right, switch. Second story.
I gotta work on my mind. Okay, so after that. Did you like that story?
That was
a
good
great
story.
Yeah.
Well, I
had all the elements: a celebrity, a poner,
yeah.
two German chicks.
Yeah. It was worth the worth the verbiage in the beginning.
Yes,
I had to do that after you blew up my horn and said boom, boom, and I literally focused. I was in my kitchen. I was like, oh, I got to figure this out. Okay, so around this time, and it was after that. So. You know, the world is so different now, and I equate it to, and I think Felisa will understand this more than you guys, no disrespect, but it was, when you did comedy, you became a name in comedy after your Tonight Show spot, then you became headliner in clubs, stop me when I'm wrong, then from that, you built up, you did colleges and corporates, then you got your own TV show, became a star, then you got the movies.
Well, that's where you lose me.
But that, and then you became a movie star, and then you never went on stage again. That was,
wow.
So each was a successor up, and comedy was this amazing art form, but it looked as a springboard, TV was a springboard. And the ultimate goal was to be a movie star, and then you walk away from it.
Did you ever hang out with Polly back in the 90s?
Not really. It was really into the late 90s, early 2000s when he... And our career started passing, but he was already a humongous legend by the, like when I remember coming here, I think in 91 for my first Monday Nighter, which I always said went way past two, the OR would be slammed. And I feel like I would see Damon Wayans or James Stevens III up there all the time, destroying. at like 3 a.m.
For hours.
But 3 in the morning. And I'm like, and the place would be popping. And it was so intense. And if you were funny, the walls were on fire. And if you were bombing, the walls were also on fire. And so I remember him because Paulie was, he had his a huge album out. And that was in 91. I remember that was one of the first times I came here and I got on stage. And he had the billboard literally where the Ondaz is, this huge billboard. So he was already a super legend. But it was late 90s I started like getting to know him.
Gotcha. Okay.
So anyway, long story boring is the whole thing changed. Social media and comedy changed. If you did 3,000 people on the, like, I would do like 3,000 people on a college.
That was huge.
Make great money and then take the week off until I got a call from Iowa State or Chico State, right? Well, it's, you started seeing in the early 2010s, guys that were playing huge theaters coming down and going 15 minutes. And I'm like, why is this happening? And it's because basically social media, and then you realize you could kill on the road, but you got to kill it among your peers. And so comedy changed. You agree with that, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It was never
in a bunch of different subtle ways. Like back in the day, you didn't travel with a lot of comedians, so it was very solitary. That was my experience when I was headlining. I went through a huge
period. But you had
of
an
time.
Opener.
Yeah, but you might have, because you had movie success and had the ability to bring an opener. Mm. But if you were just an everyday headliner, you didn't really travel with the same group. You know, it was kind of different. And you could float on the same material for a long time.
Yeah.
When social media and YouTube started happening, then you had to burn a lot of material.
But
constantly.
Things are changing about the burning it too. Like now people are showing, they want you to do your greatest hits. They'll get upset if they don't see the joke.
But
you
that's
did
okay.
On TikTok.
But here's what I want to say is that there's pluses and minuses, but in a way, we do have to work harder now, but it also will make you better. And there was also a system, and this does not really have to do with the story, but since we're here, I'll lead up to it. But I remember one night I walked in the Improv, probably 92, and Roseanne was in the corner. Seinfeld was walking out. George Wallace was talking to somebody at the bar. Adam Sandler was just coming in for a guest set, and George Lopez was on stage trying to work on his Tonight Show set. And I walked in and I just head down. I was like, that was very common occurrence in the early 90s. Right. Now, there was a class system, you know, mega stars, headliners that she was saying that aren't as known, middlers, beginner, host. I wasn't even a host. I was an open mic sign up coffee shopper.
Oh yeah.
And so I was seven levels deep. Now today, we're all in the same community, which I think is beautiful, but there is some delusion with certain people that like an open mic coffee shopper will come up to a huge arena act and go, guys like you and me, this is tough, right? That is insane to me because I still don't look at certain people. Unless they talk to me, I never bother them. So I like our generation.
Yeah.
How we, you know, am I crazy to say that?
I don't think you're crazy to say that at all. I don't think you're crazy.
But it's beautiful because I want to tell you, back in the day, we probably wouldn't have met as much.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And now it's a community. I feel it's much
more
of a community, which is beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a lot less competition, even though it's competitive, because everyone can make their own way. So it's actually more loving in a weird way. I know there's a lot of fucked up shit, but it is, right? Like, and I love the community of it. And we didn't have that before.
And it was more back in those days, it was more like, I mean, I know comics are always like, hey, how'd you get that gig? Hey, how can I get booked? That's always been, but back in the day, I felt it was a lot worse.
Oh.
Because there were so little opportunity. You know what I mean? Because it was just like you did late night, or that was it. Or when HBO started really banging out young comedian special, that was before my time.
Mm-hmm.
Right when I came in as an opener myself.
I was hanging out with Russell Peters this past weekend, and this guy came to the show. Jason Collins brought him to kind of mentor.
Well, you're really dropping names.
to mentor. But this, I mean, this, and he was super nice. That's what really, you know, it was made it all right. But he's 2 years into comedy, but he's got 10 million followers on fucking TikTok.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So he's like retired from nursing and now he's wanting to do comedy, but he doesn't have 5 minutes really.
Oh my God. I was at Just for Laughs a couple years ago.
But that's okay. He can get that.
That's what I told. Yeah.
And I was photographing and they were doing the variety top 10 and the variety people picked a YouTube act and it was this guy.
I know you're talking
about. Yeah. Something Mama. What is his name?
He's the country guy with the vest or whatever.
Yeah. And country so mamas. he has all these views, all that. So now he's in that theater and he comes out and he's hasn't played a gig like that and everybody in the audience is industry and he starts doing it and it's like, you know, like he's his YouTube videos are very funny. I get it. But he didn't have the skills because it's an entirely different skill set. And it's not a judgment. It's just, you know, you got to be in it for a long time to be able to handle that, you know, even to hear, you know, when you're on in a big venue, you got to wait until they laugh and adjust your timing for the next. And he had a meltdown. And it was one of the, he was like, what's the name of this festival? And you're like, yeah, because he froze up. And it was like, you felt bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, feel bad. At least you could tell he was hungry, like, for information. Like, he wanted to know. And that,
but the thing is, his ego got in the way of when people have, and by the way, God bless, man, if you have 10 million followers, I'm excited for you. But
yeah.
But then when you come into a comedy situation with that, first of all, we're all against you. We're again you. You know,
I know.
It's true.
He said, how long you been doing it? He said, two and a half. I said, fuck you.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what I'll say? I mean, that's kind of different what I was saying, but like, I'm saying it is a great community now.
Yes.
And I do feel, but yeah, comedy. Listen, when I could never get in comedy and I was 4 years in and I had 10 minutes and I can only get like the signups and where you would do 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then when I started getting famous, they were allowing me the middle and I said, I don't have the middle. And they're like, well, you're the name. So that's when you hire the other comics and to do the time as you get better. So all I'm trying to say is the backstory is, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No,
is that
right.
Is that the community is just, it's much different now. And I really do love it. Like, I love the fact
it's not as backstabby.
No, you don't have to anymore because of that.
Okay, yeah.
Because of that. Like, and I was going to say Comedy Central more for me is like when that started happening, they would put 10 unknown comics on a show and you'd each do 5 minutes and that was your tape. And so when they started doing that and HBO started doing that, you got a little bit more. And so comic that if Felicia had her own show, like that's how I got one of my first credits was Jeanine Groffel had a show and I was one of the comics on it, but they would be like, hey, you should audition. So that's when I think things started opening up.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it was like comics helping comics, but it's just a totally different world now.
Jamie let me cry in his dumplings.
So you cried in my dumplings at a festival.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay.
And is dumplings code?
to cap that little story before I go into the story is that it is wild now. Like, you can have people that... I told a club, to finish your story, I sold a good amount of tickets in an amazing club, and the weekend person had a bus and was a YouTuber, and they were selling $50 tickets. I was at $25, and they sold out two shows on a Monday and two shows on a Tuesday. I go, just kick me out, and I'll do the Thursday and the Friday and let them do it. He goes, I don't want to do that. And then he goes, why? And he goes, because my brand is my comedy club. So they're not ready to do that. They got 20 minutes. But I'll do it on off nights.
That was, I mean, smart.
And I was really wildly impressed that this club was like still like, I love money, but I also
integrity.
Love, yeah, the comedy club. So I get it. So put comics that you trust on the weekend and let the newer comics, if they're selling, sell it out. They'll build. And they will. That guy, I'm sure, will be amazing. But that 10 million is incredible.
It's ridiculous.
And the whole world is a new place. Okay, so all that is a lot of backstory too. I was already doing movies, so you get something called a holding deal.
Oh yeah.
And so that's another thing you would do is you would audition, and I would do it here too. I did one of my first like really successes was I got a pilot out of here in 95 because my girlfriend at the time, Jenica Berger, do you know her? Mm-mm. Legend.
It's a hot name.
She's got a lot of history here, but she got me an audition and they did. I used to do Please Allows in 95s and I wasn't known yet, but I was known in the industry. So that's one of the first places I got a deal out of here. And so from that, you get these little holding deals. You get 6 months, a year, whatever. And they were incredible. We would call them, people were throwing money away. Like, you would get a lot of money to be held because that. And so imagine if you have three jobs now, you can only have one. And you're basically, they're buying you out to do nothing. So yeah. you hang out all day. There's no social media. There's no, cameras are a pain in the ass to film on. So you just play golf and you work out and you try to hang out. But like, you can't, you're indebted, which is a great thing, on this monthly paycheck to this network.
Yeah, but the downside is whatever they're casting, you're in there reading for them.
Or the,
that's the down part.
Stop telling my story. So at the time, I had an amazing, I had a deal at Universal. I had worked with Comedy Central. I had MTV. Like, one of the first deals I ever had was Harlan, Jim Brewer, Dave Chappelle and me. We all had baby holding deals. What an interesting group, right? But all different times. So at this time, I'd already had some more success. My agents at CAA, they got me a big holding deal. And I was like, but I want to keep doing movies. You know,
you want to work.
The integrity of movies. Well, no, they wanted me to work because they wanted me to get on a 100-episode show, syndication forever, which is not terrible, but I was already in a lot of amazing movies, and I felt like my art cred was up.
But they gave so much money during that time.
They did.
They gave so much
money. That's their art. He's a good agent right here. And the argument is, if nothing comes of it, you just made $500,000. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, so that's what it is, right? So she's 100% right. And this is how Roseanne started, Brett Butler, Tim Allen, everybody did this. Because Tim Allen was really the poster boy for this model. And when Home Improvement, forget Seinfeld, which is the biggest. Home Improvement sold for $2 billion. Yeah. $2 billion. Tim Allen has a very nice hunk.
I still watch reruns.
Yeah.
Home Improvement. I do.
Once agents saw that, the whole town changed. And so they're like, what's your angle? What's your, Brett? I can tell you 10 people. Allen, you know. So I had this holding deal and it was at Fox. And so she's exactly 100% correct, Felicia is. So you go and you meet on people and you audition. So I did an episode of a show called, it was Neil Patrick Harris. It was a great show, but he was eventually the creator, Steve Levitan. He created.
Was it Doogie Howser?
No, it was after Doogie Howser. There was another one he had for like two seasons, but he eventually created Modern Family. But I forget the show. It was so good though, but I had a guest spot on that. So it was like they just plug you in. Yeah, Google. How do you know? So that's truth so far. So is that a legal cheat?
Yeah,
so exactly.
That's all right.
So I did that.
Okay.
There was a cartoon that I met on multiple times with a young cartoon creator, who left Hanna-Barbera to get his own test pilot by the name of the show was called Family Guy.
a little thing. Just
yeah,
a little
I know.
Show.
I was trying to give you dramatic. So I met with Seth a couple of times. There was another guy that had a deal, and he had a show he was trying to develop, and we never got anything going, but I had multiple meetings with him, a guy named Greg Daniels.
Yeah.
He created The Office. So I was in amazing Steve Levitan, Greg Daniels, and Seth. Why am I remembering Seth's last name?
McFarland?
Yeah. I don't know why. I just had a brain fart. That's 5G. So I know
Take
Seth
more vitamins.
I know Seth more than I know those guys. So anyway, I worked a little bit, took amazing meetings with these incredible people. We never end up doing anything. And so by the end of the run, they're like, yo, your deal's coming up. They may want to extend, but if not, there's a reality platform that they want to talk to you about. And at the time, this is pre-Jamie Kennedy, which I didn't think was reality. I thought that was more comedy, but it has reality moments to it. But this was like the only real thing was The Real World. To me, the first real reality show besides The Real World was The Osbournes. And then that's where it was born for me. And then there was there's nothing like you understand today. None of that. No Housewives, no Kardashians, nothing. And reality. You're like, what?
Well, yeah.
So,
dang.
So they said, look, there's this format. It's out of UK. We're trying to bring it here. And we think that you could be great in it. So I'm like, what is it? And so there was a show called Pop UK. And so you would do something called interstitials. You know what those are, where you'd interview people. So I also, so I would do these interstitials for this network, but like Pop UK, they let me do it on the WB, and I'd interview different things. Like I interviewed a band called Eden's Crush. The lead singer was a girl named Nicole Schweizinger, who ended up becoming the Pussycat Dolls, and Kaya Jones, and all these different people. So they were like, oh, you're good with this and stuff. I interviewed Little Bow Wow. He sold out like Staples, and I was interviewing him. He was like 11, right? So that's what it was like. They were doing like an MTV thing.
Right.
So Fox.
Back when he was good.
Fox saw that, and Fox said, hey, I was good?
No. I know.
So you're trying to have beef. I love Bow Wow. You're trying to have beef. That ain't me.
It's
so,
true. Bow Wow, come get me, motherfucker.
So here, Delete.
Hey, I know all the songs. I promise.
It's a long one. So here's the angle. They saw it. They loved it. They said, "There's this new singing show. We think you'd be great at. You can co-host. We got this guy who's a host who comes in and does all of our test tapes." And then we're going to figure out who the real hosts are. So we already have him, and we would like you to come in.
Okay.
I went in. I did a bunch of screen tests. I went back and forth. And I was like, they're like, this is really up your alley. Do you want to do the test tape? I'm like, the test tape? What am I doing? I'm just fucking hosting, talking to singers and stuff. And they're like, yeah, but you could fucking, you could be the host of it. It's not easy. You shoot 3 months out of the year and you're done. You can do your other thing. I'm like, it's not acting. It's not comedy. It's not. And they were like, well, it's yours if you want it. And I said, thank you very much. It was a limited series. It was 6 episodes to try out in the summer. And I said, no, I want to do something where I'm funny, where I can do my characters and I can show my range, which eventually became the Jamie Kennedy Experiment. And that's what I was taking meetings on to do these type of kind of things. Like I wanted to be like Mike Myers. So they ended up hiring another guy along with the guy they hired to do the test footage. The other guy they hired was a guy named, was also another comedian named Brian Dunkelman.
Oh, okay. All right.
And that show, who he eventually left at the first year because he didn't like it. And that show was called American Idol. And Ryan Seacrest was always the guy who was the tester, meaning like, hey, we're going to make a test pilot. Who do we get? And they're like, well, just call Ryan. Give him a day rate. And so he did this on multiple shows.
Man, then I should have kept doing those run-throughs for the game shows. I never got picked, but they always wanted me to do run-throughs.
Right.
So basically the story is I passed on American Idol.
Okay.
You're saying you could have been Ryan Seacrest.
No, his sidekick.
He could have been Brian Dunkelman. That's what he's saying.
Dunkles.
You do know this is a Star Search winner over here. Oh,
shut up.
You were? Yeah. Oh, yes.
No. Yeah.
No,
by the way,
no.
This is it. I'm giving you gold in this episode. And you made me fucking do homework.
I'm having a great time with
it. You never did Star Search, though, right?
Past my time. I think, when did you win? What year?
I won the last year. They brought it back like a couple years after that. I think it was 91.
Yeah, I was just starting.
Yeah.
But I remember that, it was stopped around. It stopped when I started.
Man, I gotta finally admit that I've spent years just playing along in conversations, pretending I know what Star Search is because everybody else knows.
Dude!
I don't actually know. I know that you won it. I know it's right. I've heard.
You know who was on my episode?
I have
Britney
no idea
Spears
what it is.
Was on one of my episodes.
Britney, yeah, Justin, Spears. Sinbad won. Well, I remember he was a big blow up off of it.
Also, Brad Garrett won the first one.
Brad Garrett, also Kevin Pollak.
Like, the only reason I got on is because they used up everybody else, and they're like, because I auditioned for like three or four times.
What do you? Was, like, all right, what you is can the do show it. Even? It's like a kind of like American
like
Idol,
kind of like American Idol,
or like America's Got Talent.
Kinda. America's Got Talent.
Yeah,
what? Like, way yeah. bigger.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is
yeah.
so
How do you not know what Star Search is?
I don't know.
Star Search.
I don't know. I'm 30.
That was the
Ed McMahon. Ed McMahon show. It started in the early 80s.
You get stars.
And you want to hear the funniest story?
You got a break from the acting category, the sing. I mean, huge stars came out of
that.
There was at the finals.
I was born in 91 when we were saying that took place, right?
Fuck you for saying that. But I was, no, when I did it, I was in the finals, and there was a girl that did the cherry pie videos. You know,
Bobby Brown.
Bobby Brown. Yep. And so... Yeah, no, she did not. Yeah, no. I'll tell you the story. What happened is, I don't think she did, but I'll tell you the story. What happened is that, so she was the mod. They had a model spokesperson category.
Yeah, that was a big one. Yeah,
that was a big one. And so she was doing it at the finals, right? And then she kind of flubbed a line, and then you could tell that she was stopping because she's going to assume that they're going to reset the cameras. And then like a minute goes by, and then all of a sudden you hear Ed McMahon go, I would like to remind everyone this is a competition. And she's like, oh, fuck. You know? Yeah, yeah. It was so much pressure, though. It was so much pressure. Yeah, yeah.
You but just anyway. Spilled the tea.
No, she's very lovely lady.
Oh, I know. She's yeah. nice. I like
very
her.
Lovely lady. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That is.
I have many questions, though. It seems to me like that story was so long. You were just telling that story.
But wait a minute.
To figure out the ending.
You interrupted me with the whole history of comedy.
We went on a tangent.
Okay. No,
but is that a tactic? Is he dressing it up to mask that story is not true and adding some detail to sound comfy and in the pocket? Or is that what was that just so detailed because it's just real?
I'm a detailed dude.
What year was that? Because it seems to me that American Idol.
2001.
That sounds right.
American Idol came at 2001. All right.
9/11, baby.
Ruben stuttered.
Huh.
Justin Guarini.
And when was the Kelly Steve, Clarkson. What year was this?
98.
Fantasia.
Soul Patrol.
Yeah. Constantine Marullo.
Adam, what's his name?
Do you have any questions about this well-told, long-ass story that we diverted from? My fault.
Had fun.
You just did a spokesmodel minute.
No, I know. I put it back.
Do you regret? Do you wish? You kind of wish you were on American Idol, or do you think it would have been not necessarily your jam?
I think you dodged a bullet.
I think everything's everything now. Back and then, no, there was another show that I was involved in. Believe it or not, I was up against with Howie Mandel, and I didn't do it. It doesn't mean I was going to get it, but it was just after 05, everything changed. But before that, it wasn't, you didn't, if you were a Bert Convy, I'm dating you, didn't go and star in action movies.
Yeah, because Bert Convy was legendary. Yeah, legendary.
Wink Martindale was literally the host of Match Game or Wink, I forget what, Tic Tac Toe. And then he would shoot 6 episodes on the weekend. That night, he's in the smokehouse in Burbank with the 29-year-old. You know what I'm saying? Like that. And they were the game show guys drinking martinis, playing.
Yeah, once you kind of come out as a reality star, it's really hard to
go. Different world. But now, because of what you just said, followers, eyeballs, everyone's so disparate. They don't give a fuck. They would take a Real Housewife and make her Tomb Raider if she had enough followers. And
that's true.
Then that you have to understand how different that was. There was a snobbery. But now everything became so corporate. So then, no, I didn't regret it. Now, I mean, I might be a couple hundred million light.
Yeah, but they probably would have, and nothing to do or against Brian Dunkelman, but they just realized, I think, two men or two hosts at the time just didn't really work. So.
Well, no, Dunkelman, I think, left.
Oh, you did? Okay.
That's his story. I mean, he's a nice guy, and it's his, you know, he hates talking about it. I don't know him that well, but he was on the show, and he said, you know, it's not my thing, but he was in it.
And there's so many different layers. Like, I had a holding deal, and so I think with NBC or something, and so I had to go out every fucking audition. I went to network for Friends for the Lisa Kudrow part, and listen to this. Then afterwards, you read 10 years later, they weren't going to give it to anyone else but Lisa Kudrow, and you're like, why did you torture me? Yeah. You know what I mean? Because when you go to network, it's like you shit your pants. I mean, it's serious shit. You know what I mean?
What?
I'm laughing at right now. What? This is a long ass story. So let me tell you about my friend Callback. So what happened was, you shit your pants. Now it's
Jamie, let's You're get hilarious. To it.
Good
let's
point, Jamie. Good point. All right.
But by the way, you'll be able to know because you're saying everything. Network is the most scariest thing.
It's so scary, yeah.
Not anymore, but it is so scary.
So is there any other quick questions now that I've bored everyone with my network story?
Good pod. No, this has been, no apologies.
All right, let's have.
Ask a question. You don't have any?
She always has questions.
Let's see, American Idol. Have you ever met Simon? Of course. Why? I don't know. Of course. Where
have
would
you ever
have
met Simon?
I've been to the Golden Globes a bunch. Emmys.
Do you cut your hair for those things?
This was like before pandemic. So I cared.
How do you keep your hair at the same length of?
I don't think it grows.
Because every time I see you, it's exactly the same length.
Can I tell you? I'm having little issues in the back of my head. It's partially why I wear the hat. But also, I wore a hat when I had more hair because people, if they did recognize me and, you know, they talk. I'm everyone's neighbor. That's my fame. I'm not like people are freaked out. They're like, Jamie, how are you, buddy? So I would have worn a hat a long time. Long story, boring is. Beautiful lesbian, I think she was lesbian, has a shop in Beverly Hills. I was at the Improv the other night. She said, come and I'm gonna
hook you up.
So I think I'm gonna act not far from where you get your nails done. I think I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, you should do it.
I'm just gonna cut it. I'm tired of it.
Have you ever thought
about hair transplant? Can she call Jessica?
Huh?
Have you ever thought about hair transplant?
Yeah, but I don't like all those.
Yeah, you don't want to
it
do
doesn't
that.
Doesn't matter. You can. Yeah. There's a potion. It doesn't even matter anymore. Hair is a potion.
All right, Michael. Why don't you redo the stories? Make them very quick, though.
Make them quick. The year is 1998. Bowfinger. Let's see. I'm just going to condense. This is a dream set for Jamie's working with a lot of his heroes, Steve Martin in particular. At this point, they've filmed about halfway. All their characters are in love. Hey, check this out. The autocorrect insists on switching the word Heather to Starlight. Is that dumbest fucking thing?
No, you know what that is? It's because I'm writing I wrote a book, and so I changed one of the characters from Heather Starlight. That's hilarious. That
how interesting is
that's
that?
That's wild.
You can't even go back and change it. Like, you'll hit a space and just change it again. So I have
that's
Starlight
funny.
Graham everywhere.
AI,
baby. Allen Iverson, 98. What a year. That actually kind of checks out. Anyway, all their movie characters are in love with Starlight Graham's character. And Steve goes, hey, why don't we all hang out tonight? We can hang out in Europe at my house in Beverly Hills pretty much. I'll get the chef. And then Steve also eats a lot of pills. And Heather's gone, and he doesn't want to be awake anymore.
So he eats a lot of pills? No, he's a healthy vitamin
guy. But he's a healthy vitamin guy. And he goes,
don't get him
he
in
goes,
trouble.
Hey, once now that Heather's gone, I don't want to be around any of you enough to be awake anymore. So you leave my house whenever you want.
Not how it happened. He's being funny.
They all go hang out in the guest house. There's a couple German gals hanging out with him and McConaughey, we're thinking, right? Isn't that what,
Who brought the German
McConaughey
girls?
Light.
Who brought the German girls?
Well, they're non-professionals, by the way.
They're non-professionals. They were friends of one of the other actors.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're out in the guest house. They're playing Truth or Dare. Jamie takes Helga, the other two pair off. They're making out. And then Matthew McConaughey yells, switch, and they switch.
McConaughey sound alike, not McConaughey.
It sounded like, yeah, that was it's just a character he's doing before. Jamie's got a wild poner, long story short.
Most poners are.
Jamie's got to go bleed out this poner, and he comes back. The three have become one, and Jamie tries to activate the same switch mechanism, and it's ineffective pretty much. And so he grabs a bottle of wine and bails.
All right. Let's go to second.
If you see how much is typed here, you'd be proud of how short that was.
Yeah.
That's why it wasn't very good, because I was really just skipping around. All right. It's funny. I've also summarized the pre. I didn't know if that was the story. Sometimes like that whole preamble about how comedy's changed and the.
That wasn't part of it.
I know. Okay. But I've got great notes. I've got killer notes on it. Let's see. This is comedy's a different world suddenly. A holding deal. He's dating Jenica Brugere. He's playing golf. He's chilling. He's doing auditions. Life's pretty good because he's doing a holding deal, right? Isn't that kind of how that works? Yeah. I didn't know what a holding deal was until. Yeah.
They don't give him anymore, or very rarely now.
Oh, yeah. And it made me realize it's like, oh, man, that's where like a lot of.
You know what's better than a holding deal was? a development deal. Remember the development deals? Jesus.
Well, it says a lot about, I never heard of a holding deal. It says a lot about just how it's changed. Yeah. Now everybody is so obsessively everybody admires like hustle. Oh, I'm productive full time. That's what you want to boast. But like there was like a lifestyle of like, I'm just famous waiting.
Yeah.
That's cool. That sounds easy and fun. Anyway.
Like the 90s. Yeah.
CAA gets them a big holding deal at Fox. They want to score him like a 100-episode show, and you go meet an audition and shit. He's seeing, you met with Seth MacFarlane, Greg Daniels, Steve Levitine. The deal's almost up. They're like, let's talk about reality TV a little bit. There's this format in the UK. We want to bring it over here. You're going to do interstitials. We've got this one guy that you think, and we think you could be the other guy. They screen test it. They chew it over for a while, but it's not acting. It's not comedy. It feels weird. And they go, it's yours if you want it. He says no. That ends up being American Idol.
All right. I have questions. Okay.
By the way, the air conditioning is incredible here.
Yeah.
And
I'm wearing a nice sweater, so it feels even more, especially that way. Yeah. I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm wearing a sweater in this hot room.
I showed up sweating, and I'm not. I thought it was serious because I'm like, yeah, I'm not sweating.
So my question is this, and I'm sorry to ask this again. So in the German girl switch story at Steve Martin's house.
It was more Bill Clinton.
Was the gentleman that was McConaughey Light, was he a known actor and had been in movies as much as you had been in movies?
No, but he was an actor that was respected. New York head, good looking model.
Uh huh. And what
model became an actor, did more TV. This was early in the movie career for him.
And then what movies came before that movie for you that had done well? That were out.
Scream 2, Scream. Romeo
that
and
were
Juliet.
Already out.
Romeo and Juliet.
Okay, I think the first story is the lie.
Yeah, because he just changed it.
Wait. That were already out?
I think the first story is a lie because
I don't think that the German girls would have passed on Jamie.
Yeah, to go with a good looking guy because so what? You're the star.
And you were good looking. Yeah. Not so what I'm saying now, is, but you
I can shave.
We would switch for you any day.
You caught him in the lie in the most flattering way. This is working out great. But, you know, he did the
don't
stories.
Give it up, though, if I'm right.
And I was thinking the whole time he's telling that, I'm like, isn't he pretty much still in the heat of being like a 90s heartthrob icon?
Exactly. Like, all the girls loved
him. But
love
I wasn't
you.
That. No, I was literally Romeo and Juliet, Scream, just before, Scream 2. And then I got another independent movie. And I remember right by where my name is now that didn't come out yet. So I had a couple things in the cam and didn't come out. I just had three.
Those
and then I had a big
huge.
MTV campaign.
But Scream 2.
A band huge. Sneaker commercial.
But Scream 2 was already out and about before this. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't believe Steve Martin, who came up as a comic, would say to some young guns, just go in the bag of house because y'all fuck everything up.
Yeah,
comics
but I
fuck everything up. Yeah. I'd be like,
no,
bitch.
That kind of money, like, you know, there's Russell Peters is a cool dude. I could see him doing that. Like, when you have that much money, you're like, I know you guys want to have fun. Mm. Go ahead. I'm going to bed.
It's funny. Just saying Russell
that
Peters makes me go like, actually, he might be like, I've had 10 beers. I'm going to go pass that. You guys leave whenever you need to. And he trusts everyone.
But the women.
Makes everyone
first of all, yes, James.
I should show you a picture. See, will it fuck you up if I add it?
Of the
Somebody
guy?
Just sent me a picture. Of me when I was at this con with our man over there of a picture of old picture of me. And it was from this area.
Jamie was hot.
He was cutie pie. Yeah, I know.
And he was the funny guy.
Wow. So
that's what it was.
Will you send that to Jessica so we can plop it in?
Yeah.
I will.
Wow. Hey, what's what?
Here, put it up
top.
To the camera.
Can
we put that up to the camera? Will that focus?
Ready, it better. He's got a mesh top on.
Oh, a mesh top.
That wasn't for a movie. That was just a third. You get it?
Holding deals are wild.
Yeah. That's why I think the first one is the lie.
The lie, because the German girl, plus he's funny on top of that. Like, they would be totally attracted to that.
What do you say, Michael?
I think so, too. And if it's unanimous, then it seems like it might be true. It's like... I don't know. I had a great fucking time here in both
Which
stores.
One do you think's the lie?
I think the first story is the
did
lie.
Did you take your Adderall today?
Of course.
Okay.
You did? Why are you so emotional?
Trust us. He needs that Adderall.
Milligrams.
I don't know. We'll talk about swapping around after.
But seriously, Mike, you should take some vitamin D. You should see if your vitamin D is low. Anyway.
Damn. Alyssa, okay. Who's 112 pounds, did 30 milligrams a day forever. I got her off of that shit.
Oh, wow. Like,
and she's 30. And she's little. So you.
I'm 30. Alyssa?
You seem very emotional for a guy on Adderall because she'd be like this. Yes, James.
Oh, yeah, I'm far from like robotic. I'm like, I'm an emotion. Yeah. I'm like, I'm everyone here's psycho girlfriend.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
Which one do you think's the lie?
I think the first story is a lie, and that he had the chance to be the sidekick guy on American Idol, and I think that seems all true.
Okay. It's so weird, though, that it's you or Brian Dunkelman, because you had so, didn't you have way more fame than Brian at that point? That's so weird. Yeah.
Ooh. But it's a comedy. He's a comedian. At the time, Brian was a very good and up and coming known comedian, uh-huh. And I was more known as an actor.
Right.
But I had the chops.
God, that's the only thing that makes me worry that the second story is.
Put it this way. When I got famous and I was, God rest his soul, Bob Saget allowed me to open for him.
Yeah.
I had to do 20 and I could do 10.
Bob Saget was such a great guy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Craig Shoemaker and Rick Overton all would let me open for them and I could only do 10. I was like 20. So yeah, Bob's the greatest. So just letting you know that.
Yeah.
The fame outweighed the comedy chops.
Yeah. You know, I have may I divert the story for a second?
It's such a long app. Get to it. So I was on American pre-Star Search Idol. And what happened?
I mean, girl, are you a Gemini? Are you like me? By the way, I have to do my own pod soon, but I don't care. I'm having such a good time.
Oh, okay. Okay, all right, never mind.
Tell me your diversion.
All right, so anyway, so I got on to Full House. And ooh, I was
dropping.
I know, I'm dropping. And I was in the dressing
Cut
room.
It out.
I know. And Bob Saget's like, hey, I heard you're a dirty comic. And I said, yeah, I am. And he goes, well, tell me you're a dirty joke. So I used to have this joke. It was literally like 10 minutes of just fucking pussy joke callbacks, you know, the punches.
But smart. And, I always feel like you have smart pussy jokes.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So anyway, so I start telling this joke. And at that time, I was Jeff Franklin. I had a development deal with him. And I was like, it's all going to happen. It's all going to happen for me. So I'm like, I'm all emboldened. So I say the dirtiest, filthiest joke. And I turn around. One of the little girls is there. Done.
When did
you lost your deal?
I did. The deal kind of petered out, but they never brought my character back. Oh, I did two episodes, and they didn't bring my character. And I was always like, "Fucking Saget, he told me to tell the pussy joke."
She did do stand up on the show. I remember you were in the club. You
was
were
this 86?
That's a very YouTubeable.
Story. No. This is like 90. In the early 90s. Yeah, this is probably 93 or so. All right, so we all kind of think the first story is the lie, right?
I think the first story is the lie. They'd be all over Jamie. It was Jamie with the German chicks.
Yeah, not that the story as a whole didn't happen, but just that's not exactly how it went down. Huh? Wait, what about, sorry, what did you just break ground with there?
So I just think it was probably Jeremy. I mean, it was Jeremy.
He wasn't there.
He was the one in.
And the other guy was yelling a switch.
Or Steve.
No, shut up, Steve. Please, Steve. Martin? Please.
No.
What, he puts the arrow through the head and it's a done deal?
No, but at that time, he already went through his phase of that. No, I can't imagine that.
But yeah, it's Jamie.
Yeah, he was older than me at that time than I am now.
Yeah.
A couple years older.
Okay. Yeah.
And he had, trust me, the 70s.
Yeah, he had his good time. Yeah.
You know
so which story is the lie?
How do I reveal it?
You just tell us which story is the lie.
Not like a drum roll.
Hey, we love the enthusiasm, man. He's like, how do I do this right? Let's make it official.
First of all, Jess called me and said, our podcast needs a little help. We're going to help with the
this
ratings.
This is true.
So hopefully this will help with the ratings.
Thank you
Number
very much.
Number two, I hate homework. But I'm a professional. Number three, I had an amazing time.
Aww.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
And number four, damn your radars off! The first story is true.
Oh!
The second story is half true and a lie.
Wow. We were so sure we chose not to discuss it. We didn't even discuss it.
I'm so proud of myself. No, you have to understand, though. Like the first story is all true, but it was funny. I mean, they were from another country. They're beautiful. I was having a good time, but there was like the heat of the moment. Could I have probably conned my way back? And come on, no. But I just ended up leaving. I was like fucking three sheets to the wind, and it was funny. And this dude was a stud, and they were mauling him, and he's sweetheart. So
when you left, were you bummed or were you crying?
I will never forget this. I left, and then Steve, I'm not going to say too much because
you're probably happy.
But he has
your friend,
an incredible
too.
Property, and like there's like literally like a walkway that's like European with like it's like a not a tunnel, but it's like just this little like
like an arbor.
It's like a bridge.
Okay.
And so I went under it, and I just remember like literally going out, and I found. Imagine like a golf course, like it's a pristine golf course, but there's that weird like gate where like they keep the hoses and you can go out. I left that like through a hose gate. And I never forget. I was
on the maintenance
deep,
road.
Deep in the hills of Beverly Hills, like way up. And I'm like walked around probably 40 minutes. Look, this was Motorola Fat Flip.
Yeah.
So
mesh tanks.
I went and looked for my car, and I was pretty wasted. And I called. Cab. Can you remember this? Calling a
you
cab.
You called a cab?
I was kind of drunk, and I left my car to pick up the next day, and the cab picked me up.
How long did it take you to get a cab? Jesus.
Probably,
those days.
I remember it was like 30 minutes, but I went out so far, and if you know, like, when Playboy Mansion is winding, all those.
Well, hey, I might know.
Well, okay. Well, whatever it is. There's
okay.
If you got out on one side, you got a long-ass walk.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Aaron Spelling. I mean, there's a big...
So did you wait in front of the house for the cab?
I waited where I called. I found another thing, and I said, I'm too drunk, because I was like, I'm not a drunk driver. And so,
because that'd be a bummer if you had to wait for the cab.
I did have to wait for the cab.
No, in front of the house and not see your buddy come out for a fucking hour.
I waited. It was like property, a long area. And I hope this story is cool if he ever sees this, because it's respectful, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But no, 100% true. And it was, the girls were hot, and he was a good-looking guy, but he's funny. I mean, to me, that's not that weird. I mean, as much as
no,
you love fame
weird.
And the good-looking stuff or whatever, and how much you can sweet that you compliment me, I think in those moments, as a bro, you'll tell me things
but
happen.
I mean, we
could be out in Iowa, and he could just be vibing that night, and it could go down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like
they were already so much. You're at Steve Martin's house. You're in the back house. You're with two people. They probably didn't know who I was. See, what you didn't do is the fame game, the German thing. I was a good looking guy and funny, but this guy was, he was kind of an Adonis.
And I don't know. I don't like that guy. Fuck that guy is all I'm saying. That guy did you dirty. That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
But
he
was a rare bird. Like he went golfing one time with George Clooney. I did another movie. And he got to know George through me. And George Clooney said, geez, I golf with your friend. He fucking hit a golf ball fucking 400 yards. Like he's a specimen.
Yeah.
Switch.
But a sweet guy.
Switch. Okay, that's what I'm going to say every time I see you now out in the wild. Switch.
That was going to be called?
It should be Switch.
Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, guys. I love you. I really had a good time.
It was an awesome day.
I'm getting on a 9:30 plane tonight, but I did get
you.
Thank you.
But no, I love you because I love this podcast. Even though I was tired, I was like, let's do more.
Punked us all the hardest we've ever been fooled all at once. That was like what it's all about. Yeah. That was humiliating.
That was a good one.
I was fucking confident.
Yeah.
And the other thing was there was some truth up into it, but I never met on American Idol. But at the time, reality was being kicked around, and I didn't have a deal with Fox.
So what do you have shaking that you would like people to know? The movie? What's the name of the movie?
Don't Suck.
Yeah, so I tell everybody to go to my website, jamiekane.com. You can see me. But I'm on tour almost every weekend, and it's half stand-up, half horror tours. Me and the Screamcast are going to be Emerald City in Seattle the end of the month, Pensacon the beginning of next month. Then I'm going to be at Tacoma Comedy Club. I'm going to be at District Tap in Omaha, Nebraska. We're all over. But also, my pod, Hate to Break It to You, and the movie, which Don't Suck, should be out hopefully in the summer.
Love it.
Bravo. Thank you again, Jamie. What do you got shaking now, Michael, that you want people to know about?
Follow my Instagram, Michael Evans, LOL. I post spots around town there. March 11th through 14th, I'll be in Seattle opening for Annie Letterman.
Do us a big favor. If you're out and about in the podcast world and you've listened to one of our podcasts, please subscribe or go to the Comedy Store and leave a sweet ass note so that they can see we have people that like our comedy podcast, all 67 of you out there. And Jessica?
I'm at Jess Wellington 2 across the board. Please follow me. Quick side note. I just want you know where the Playboy Mansion is, but I live near the Brady Bunch house.
Ooh, that's deep Canoga Park.
No, it's Studio City.
I've been on that tour.
Studio City. It's Studio City. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. You would been be another side note.
You know where the Colfax is?
Yeah.
And then the studio's up. There. No, but
you don't
it's,
want Jan to get in trouble.
It's I know.
They
it's
have security there.
Houses.
I'm going to say something to you that he won't get. Okay, what? Thomas Brothers.
Okay.
He nailed it.
You guys don't know what
no,
that is.
Yeah. No, I
didn't. Yeah. We used maps in the late 80s, and you would have to open a book and go,
oh,
Van
the
Note.
Thomas Guide.
The Thomas Brother Guide was the biggest map
ever. They never called it a brother.
Yes, Thomas Guide.
I'm sorry.
It might have been Thomas Brothers Guide, but everyone called it Thomas Guide. Yeah.
Was that a common way to hear somebody crash their car, looking at the fucking map? But
they should have made that.
First texting
and
driving.
You would like Santa Monica.
You have to go like this.
And you would go, yes, you would have to do that, and you would go Santa Monica, and it would tell you five routes to get to where you, it was. Think about how wild that is.
Isn't that crazy? Wild. It's crazy. All right. Thanks, you. What do you got to say?
And you have been lied to.